Clagsby Hill. We had a very long, made Norwegian-style sledging.
No, not that.
We battled down, we hit what doesn't we?
Go and find her.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Okay, you guys want anything else?
Three butter beers and some ginger and lime, please. Six shots of giggle water.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
This snake juice is basically rat poison.
I spent my whole life right here in Lackawanna County.
The drink, I like it.
I know, it's great, right?
Another!
Well, all right, gentlemen, welcome back.
Baby,
guys,
back.
This round's on me. And if you
it's
have...
It's the most wonderful
spoilers,
time
Spoilers!
The...
I don't think we've actually... Well, by the time you're hearing this, the bracket will be out and the cat will be out of the bag. But we'll get there. Listen, if you have found yourself one booth down, this round
is... spoilers if if it's the title of the episode? Like,
listen, we've been footloose and fancy free with the titles of this episode. There is a vast world of possibilities as to what the title of this episode.
Footloose and fancy free. That's a very, very weird Kevin Bacon Disney combo right there.
Well, listen.
That was
if you...
the one Disney movie my parents were not happy about me watching because there's that very famous scene where the bear who was in the circus finds all the other bears in the forest and they say, I love you, by smacking each other on the butt. Apparently, and I don't have recollection of this, apparently I tried taking that into preschool or something and that was a problem. And they were like, you're not allowed to watch that anymore. I remember that part vividly and I didn't know why until it was way too late and it was weird.
Were they all smacking each other on the butt before they got into the cocaine or after?
Well, the Disney animators were doing it the whole time.
Okay, but, that's true. That's true.
The bears.
I mean, you thought that was strange and not the old man giving a puppet show to a singular child for a birthday party. It was weird. That was a weird movie.
Wait, you didn't have singular ventriloquists showing up for your birthday party?
What? Guys, can I pay for our listeners' drinks before we completely derail this?
Break their brains? All right, fine. Oh, so the one week that I want to just jump right in, you're like, no preamble, but then I start doing preamble, and you're like, come on, Alex, no more preamble. I can't win with these people.
Well, hey, if you have found yourself one booth down, welcome. This round is on me, because you're going to need it. A doctor, a lawyer, a pilot, a professor have all walked into a bar. And, guys, how are you?
Let them fight.
No, we are not there yet. My goodness.
Spoilers the whole time.
Delightful.
The whole time.
Dumbledore's dead. Santa Claus is real. It's just...
Calm down, C.S. Lewis. Calm down. I'm actually quite good. Thank you for asking.
Well,
I'm fun and fancy free, as the kids say.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think that's what the kids are saying.
No.
They say gap, none, no cap, so, riz.
That's so choogy, Cody. So choogy. I learned recently that wasn't even Gen Z slang. That was millennials who heard one singular person and they were like, oh, choogy, is that a thing? And then, like, the New York Times ran with it, and it's made us all look chooky.
Oh, that's so millennial. Like, the New York Times picked it up, and so that's what made it a thing.
We don't use TikTok to make things a thing. It's got to be in a newspaper.
Yeah. I was reading a New Yorker article the other day about Gen Z slang. It's like, oh, no. Oh, millennial. Oh, no.
See, I fully embrace the fact that as a high school teacher, I will never be hip with the kids. So, and I just lean into that fact. I wasn't hip with the kids when I was in high school. Let's just be perfectly honest.
No, me neither. I'm more popular on LinkedIn than any other platform. In fact, there are probably some new listeners right now who have found this show because of my LinkedIn presence.
Because of your LinkedIn.
In which case, hello, welcome. This is Alex as well, but I'm so sorry.
So for those of you that are listening, I have this on Jail Tracker. Welcome. Yes, that was my mugshot. Yeah.
Look, I'm real popular on Goodreads, but I'm pretty sure that Zach Hacker just has like 15 burner accounts.
We don't have fans. We have Zach Hacker.
I committed a felony and I had a temporary face tattoo that said doctor and lawyer. So that way when they took my mugshot, free advertising, you're welcome.
That's committing to the bit real hard right there. You're like, wait, we're changing the show to like B3 shows. Do I have to get a new one that says the Grapefruit Network? Because that's like way bigger of a tattoo.
I'm running out of face space.
Do you remember when everyone was debating on getting the barcode after the Hitman movie came out?
Yep.
Now it's the QR code that takes us to the link page on the wow, I'm jading.
I watched enough Left Behind in my youth that I am never getting a barcode tattoo.
I keep looking for the segue to jump on, and I just smell smoke the whole time.
And where there's smoke, there's Santa Claus.
I asked for structure. You said no for 3 straight years. I finally get the structure. And then you're like, guys, why aren't we sticking to the structure?
Oh, see, the problem
3 years. 3 years. Shut them up.
You're just going to flip this train off the track and hope it rolls onto another one. That's the only way.
Well, I think I saw that in a Mission Impossible movie.
Where it lands on another track. That was the Polar Express when it was sliding on the ice.
Alex,
and then it lands.
Oh, spoilers! Spoilers!
Oh, hey!
Alex, right, I know everybody is itching to get to the main event of this episode, but first, we can't begin without our own little daily slice of fandom. So yes, it is time for the daily.
What are we going to call this?
I write for the Daily Prophet.
That's crap.
I want the name of this flying whatchamacallit to go with the Daily Planet like bacon and eggs.
Crap.
Daily Bugle?
That's pretty good. But it's taken.
All right, Alex, you go with this one.
Wow, I can't believe it. You're actually asking me to speak. Most often it's, Alex, please stop speaking. And that's actually apropos.
No, you're leading out the gate because I don't know if you all realize, but we all have the same daily.
We
today.
Do have the same
yes,
day.
Yes, it is, it is in one. Fact the same day all right. that we are recording this.
We have been beating around the bush. We have hinted at it for some of our loyal listeners. But several years ago, I realize that the four of us are too chaotic for Dungeons and Dragons, but we love the ability to embrace the stupid, to just do what we want with an adventure. And for whatever reason, you all ate that up. And so our Choose Your Own Adventure series is being retired. I'm sorry to tell you all that. Choose Your Own Adventure is pretty much dead. And it was buried and reincarnated in our newest show, The Big Red Button Podcast.
You heard that right. It is a brand new podcast.
Show. It's its own thing, part of the Grapefruit Network. And this is our sister show. Dallas and I started talking off screen, which it's amazing. I didn't know we could be friends outside of recording.
We're associates, sir.
We are colleagues.
Yeah, you keep our... Work, yeah, you keep this professional. No, so Dallas and I started talking, and I said, well, how can we capture the magic again? And we started talking Fallout. He's like, dude, I found this role-playing game for Fallout. We should try it. And we started bouncing ideas back and forth. And I was like, wouldn't it be hilarious if we set it in like the Midwest, like in Michigan? And it would be like, hey, I'm going to have to kill you, don't you know? And like, open like a whole bunch of Midwest tropes. And he's like, you're on to something. And then scurried away for the next like 3 or 4 weeks. And he came back to me with the crazy eyes, like the Charlie Day clip from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he's pointing at the board covered in red string. And he's like, I've got it. And I was like, what do you mean you've got it? And he said, I've got a whole story planned out for us. And that was before we even told you all that we had it as an idea. Dallas and I have been working on it that long. And now we have turned it into an audio drama called The Big Red Button Podcast.
It is. And if it's set in the Fallout universe, And I had never played the game. I remembered maybe in the periphery watching Dallas play it sometime in college. I remember years ago. And I
What was that number? I feel like you accidentally muffled that. I think it was.
You graduated in 2000.
Oh, that cleared it up. That cleared it up.
We can't date ourselves. So even if you don't know anything about the Fallout universe.
The transcript down there said old as. Is that? That's so weird. Huh.
If you don't know anything about the Fallout universe, never fear, because the character that I play...
You don't need to, because we don't either.
We don't either. No, the character that I play was written specifically so that I could ask questions like, what is going on? And they could use me as exposition dump. But how many episodes are we in so far, to pull the curtain back a little bit?
We are on, I think we're going on episode 5 already. At the time of recording this, so that means by the time that this goes live, we should have even more in the bag. But the idea is, even though we have been talking about doing this, some weirdo named Jonathan Nolan, I think he's related to some filmmaker guy, he's making some TV show for a, I don't know, it's like...
small little
jungle,
company.
Jungle River, Brazil... Amazon. That's the company. Amazon.
Oh, yeah. I can see how you get that.
Yeah. And so there's a Fallout television show coming from them, apparently. And they stole our idea. So we're trying to beat them to the punch.
Yeah. That's,
it's going to be even better than a multi-billion dollar, trillion dollar company can do. I believe it. It's
100%. And we are always open to the acquisition.
It makes sense that... Amazon would make a show where
Disney doesn't buy us out first.
It makes sense that Amazon would make a show about a bunch of billionaires protecting themselves from a thermonuclear apocalypse. It makes sense,
right? So, Dallas, you have been our I have to say DM. It's not a dungeon yet, but you're Dallas McKinney. You are our
he's
DM.
The DM.
But Dallas is in an actual dungeon right now, so it makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Is that what all the leather and whips and chains? Is that a swing back there? Pierce never
it's
let
an
me
exercise,
get his swing.
Piece of exercise equipment. I got it from Pierce Hawthorne. Use.
Wait, Pierce Hawthorne of Hawthorne Wipes? I got a pocket full of hot. I'm getting sued by Sony for that one.
So many
or
people.
Yahoo TV, I today. Think. Maybe Yahoo. Are they going to sue me?
Dallas, you've been mapping out this story and planning where this rodeo is headed. How has that process been for you? Because this is the first time you've ever been a game master or dungeon master of any sort of role-playing game, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, I live inside of video games, so the lore is fine. And like the structure of how games go, but making a world that you guys would want to live in was a task that I wasn't sure we could do. But I hate to bring up Community like 1,000 times, but the episode where they play the game to get Pierce's dad's inheritance and they leave Abed for a while and they come back and like he has built a whole world and he has a wife and children that are... That's what it was kind of like. Like, I disappeared for a while. And I was like, I'm going to have to build a real world and pretend like I live here. And it was like, these characters have grown up and done this and this. And I hadn't left this room for a very long time. And so now there's a whole world that even when you guys aren't around, they're still hanging out. They're doing stuff. I go and take care of them.
Our characters are basically Tamagotchis. Like, we have to pet them and water them. Like...
Yeah.
Take them for
but
a
it
walk.
Was great because it, yeah. Well, Dallas and I have been talking about it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to play a character that's, kind of like doesn't understand the world. He's been gaslit by, I won't get it. We'll get into it if you listen. But then the two of you who have never played the game get the two most interesting characters of all time. And I was like, well, dang it. This isn't fair, but it's beautiful chaos, and I love every second of it.
My character is more like a hopeless nostalgic who always wants to go back to a better time, which is not my personality in the slightest. In the slightest.
Doesn't That's crazy.
And that's kind of my way of, since I know nothing of this lore, I'm just constantly referencing old things. You know.
Meanwhile, I'm a neurotic British robot. And in the game, I play a neurotic British robot. So it's been a wonderful coincidence. Here.
Do you wear wigs? Will you wear wigs?
Well, this...
I'm glad that two of you understood that reference, and I know Allie will understand that reference, and that's all I'm appealing to. If you know that reference, you're a better person.
Well, this has been a labor of love all the way across the board, and I am so, so stoked for you to hear this. I'm excited to hear this because, frankly, whenever I get in character, I kind of black out a little bit. So every time that I've listened to a preview episode, it's a new experience for me, too. But the first three episodes, you heard that correct. The first three episodes will all drop on March the 8th, which is just 2 weeks away. Less than 2 weeks. Oh, no. Which is just 1 week away there from the time that you were listening to this episode.
In fact, by the time this has been recorded and released, we should have a 10-minute preview out already.
Yeah.
So if you have heard that, there is just far more where that came from. I don't know if that's a threat or a promise.
And if you've been a longtime listener of A Doctor and a Lawyer Walk Into a Bar, you've noticed at the beginning of the year that our frequency cut in half and these shows were coming out every other week. That is because we will be ramping the frequency back up to weekly and be on a TikTok schedule with the big red button. So on the off weeks for A Doctor and a Lawyer Walk Into a Bar, you will get a new episode of the big red button. This has been part of this big brain trust restructuring where we were wanting to narrow down on some things that people are interested in and give them more of that. And we've got some more exciting things to come, one that I've been working on for a very long time. So
I think our website says it best, where it says that there are four friends, three shows, one brain cell shared between all of us. So when you say brain trust... That's accurate. You know, it took all four of us to even come up with, like, yeah. How many guys does it take to screw in a light bulb? All four of us, unfortunately.
The trailer for the Big Red Button is already up. You can find it wherever you find your podcast. We'll link to all of the major platforms in the show notes of today's episode. But we'd love for you to go listen to the trailer, get subscribed to the episode, because the first three will launch March the 8th. And then every 2 weeks after that, you will have another glorious chapter in the adventures of these characters, these quirky, wonderful, if anything happens to them, I will kill everyone in the room and myself characters. They
dear Amazon and any potential suitors for sponsoring us or buying us out, he didn't actually mean that. He just meant that in the metaphorical, allegorical sense of, like, yeah, he really cares about.
I meant that in the Brooklyn Nine-Nine Stephanie Beatrice holding up a puppy saying, yeah, I've only had it for 5 minutes, and if anything happens.
Yeah, no, we're good. The lawyers are looking at me. They're good with that. The lawyers are
good
with that.
Okay.
Good.
Well, I'm glad.
I'm just letting him hang himself right now just to see where this goes. And I'm the lawyer here.
The lawyers have also asked me to clarify again that he doesn't actually mean hang himself. That was also an allegorical meaning.
The only way we can have this show is if we have a battery of lawyers on hand at all times.
At all times.
I'm the lawyer.
The lawyer
here.
For the lawyer.
I'm the lawyer. You're your own on retainer. Him hang himself.
Well, we felt it prudent to dedicate, since it's coming out in a week, to dedicate the entire daily segment to the Big Red Button. So again, you can find links to that channel feed and the trailer down in the description. But that will be it for the dailies, because I know everybody is itching for our next segment. So we are going to cut to the break. And when we get
back...
That's
why I brought baby powder, baby!
You don't want to talk to that guy? He plays in the NFL.
He's a linebacker. Skill positions only for Don Amigo.
I'm saying you're a football player. It's in your blood.
That's racist.
Yeah, I know. I'm a great ref, and I'd like to play the game now.
When I am playing hoops, all of the stress and responsibility of my job here just melts away. Who am I? Am I Michael Scott? I don't know. I might just be a basketball machine.
The inspiring words of a fan who'll always root for the home team, even if they lose this
game. They lost! Those losers!
No, no, no. The game's not over.
Woo! Not over! Woo!
And we're back. So this episode is coming
this
out
is
March.
Halloween. This is
the
Halloween.
First.
Halloween. Halloween.
And one of my favorite, I'll call it an event from last year, was March Madness. Last year, because we, in general, we don't sport.
Thus saith
so
the
we
Lord.
Thought, how could we, we don't sport, thus saith the Lord. how could we have
what?
Our own March Madness?
And I was just referring to March Madness.
Oh, yeah. The Prince of Egypt. So we thought, whose idea was it to do movies? To do our favorite movies. Was it Alex's?
I've had this in the Google Drive note for like a year.
Oh, I know you had the bracket
before we
made
ever did it.
For a year.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I was
year it was the original idea was I just like, let's talk favorite movies. And then it just escalated from there. Like I had my 20.
That's kind of the through line for all of this.
Indeed.
I just wanted this. And it escalated from there. Well, last year we did our top 32 favorite movies between the two of us. There was a lot of overlap. There was a lot of new ones. I think Cody, you said you had to watch 14 different movies in order to get caught up for this. So this year we are sticking with movies.
We made him watch 73 movies
this year. Yeah, he had to watch 73 for a 32 movie bracket. Sorry, Cody. 41 of those movies we're not even going to talk about tonight. So,
and they were all
but
Chris
you
Nolan
are
movies.
So much more cultured now. Don't you feel so much smarter and better?
Well,
oh,
this year,
you feel better than everyone else now?
This year for March Madness, we are doing Christmas movies.
In March.
And in March, yes. It has been this this really odd like watching a
mind
Christmas movie.
F.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a mind
there
F.
You go. There you go. Watching Christmas movies in February as you're walking through Walmart and there's just nothing but hearts and cupids everywhere. But
your wife walks in and she's like, what is this movie? And you're having to explain that, hey, William said that this is his choice. And she goes, this is weird. And you go, I know, but I'm watching it because I love William or Dallas or Cody. And she's like, you know, it's February, right?
Oh, it's for
like, I know.
And content.
I know.
he's already starting. So how this works, we have our 32 Christmas movies that we have divided up into conferences. Some of them were very clear that these need to be grouped together. Some of them took a little bit of creative finagling in order to find commonality, but we had a lot of overlap this year, as I'd say each of us presented 20 of the same movies. It was getting that extra 12 to fill out a bracket where things got interesting.
I was happy to see that you all had to watch like 11 movies, and then y'all started to complain about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all started to complain about it, and I'm just like, you don't say a word. If I had
I didn't complain.
Oh no.
No.
I am mad
I don't think
that
you're gonna yeah,
that Nightmare Before Christmas was not on this list. You said this is
you
happening,
had every,
and then it.
You had every opportunity to put it.
It was not in my brain until just now.
Until the second I just said it.
He did, and then it unlocked, and then I was like, I am looking at a list of Christmas movies. Ugh.
Okay, so we got to get this show on the road, because this is going to be... Whew. Okay, so I will go through the list of movies and tell you what the bracket that they are in, and then we're going to start. Guys, do you all have your brackets?
Aye,
got
them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we will, the bracket will be available. There's a link in the show notes of this episode if you want to download it. Maybe pause the episode, fill yours out to see if if you are as backstabby and petty as we are going to be during this.
I'm going to be so petty.
More so.
Very so, so more petty. So. Okay, starting at the top left in the Nazis are bad bracket.
Surprisingly, there are Christmas movies in that category.
Yes. So Christmas movie was open to interpretation for everyone here. There are a lot of what you would, I mean, arguably these are like all-time greatest Christmas movies on the bracket. But then there are some entries where it may take a little bit of mental gymnastics to get to it being a Christmas movie.
Sure.
But
sure.
Starting in the Nazis are bad bracket, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, The Chronicles of Narnia, Rogue One, and The Sound of Music. The next conference.
We didn't make it far before we already have a couple head scratchers.
Right?
We've made it three in and we're like, oh, what?
This one is Clay Best Friends, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, A Year Without Santa Claus, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and Elf with Will Ferrell.
I'll just point out that Santa Claus is Coming to Town could be a Nazis are bad choice as well, because the Burgermeister
we'll get there.
We'll get there.
The Christmas Hope bracket, the BBC's Nativity miniseries, The Preacher's Wife, White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, the zany comedy bracket of Home Alone, Christmas Vacation, Jingle All the Way, and A Christmas Story, the rated R bracket with Violent Night, Die Hard, The Holdovers, and Love Actually, the Carol Conference of Spirited, The Muppets Christmas Carol, the Jim Carrey's Christmas Carol, and Scrooged, the animation bracket with Charlie Brown, Netflix Klaus, The Grinch, and Frosty the Snowman, and then the feel-good bracket of Polar Express, The Santa Claus, Christmas Chronicles, and Miracle on 34th Street.
And to be clear, that is the 1994 reboot of Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, with Hammond from Jurassic Park and Matilda.
And it's the original Grinch, not the Illumination one with Benedict Snooberdooch or the Jim Carrey version. It's neither of those. It is the original one.
The original animated one, yes.
Correct.
All right, gentlemen. Now, top of the charts here, we are going to the Nazis are bad bracket. First up out of the gate.
Arguably, there are not many bad, like actual bad Christmas movies. The Hallmark movies did not make the cut at all. These are real Christmas movies. And I've actually had far more fun watching this bracket. Even the worst offenders in this bracket, I've had more fun with than our worst offenders in our original March Movie Madness bracket. So this was a very joyful time, I will say. Even the worst movies, I was still like, well, it could have been worse.
They had redeeming qualities.
Yes. So I just right before we even get going, this was very fun to do.
Well, I'm glad you thought so. Okay, Nazis are bad bracket. First up out of the gate, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone versus The Chronicles of Narnia.
Can we clarify why it is called the Nazis are bad category?
Okay,
like
so,
we did last year.
Harry Potter and Sorcerer's Stone, magic Nazis. Yes. Yeah, you know, Wizard Hitler.
Yes.
The Chronicles of Narnia, the Pevensey children.
Snow Nazis. Yeah.
But the Pevenseys
Snow Nazis
were driven.
And literally set during World War II.
And, yeah, exactly.
They were driven to the countryside because of World War II. Space Nazis in Rogue One. And then actual Nazis in the
Nazi Nazis.
Nazi Nazis in the
Who would have thought the Nazis were responsible for actually four of the best Christmas movies on this bracket?
Thank you.
Who would have thought?
Wait, no.
Yeah. Do not say what I think you're about to say.
No, sir. No.
This broadcast has been demonetized. To learn more, visit amazon.com/doctor and lawyer is bad.
I'm gonna let you all hash this one out because you obviously know what my pick is.
I'll go first because I actually want William to feel better about himself. The Chronicles of Narnia is a very, very good standalone movie.
Yes.
That being said, as a franchise, it falls flat because I know that there are other Narnia books. And that the fact that it never went anywhere makes me
a
little sad.
As a franchise,
it
falls flat because the franchise fell flat.
Exactly.
Yeah, it disappeared.
Yeah.
It just quit.
And that makes me a little sad. The actual magic of the Sorcerer's Stone gets my pick.
Wow.
Look, you know, what's the line in the Chronicles of Narnia, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Why is the White Witch's curse so bad? Why is the winter so bad? It's always
winter.
Because
Santa Claus is real.
It's always winter, and it's never Christmas. That sets the tone. That sets the mood as to how bad Tilda Swinton is.
How bad, but so good that Tilda Swinton is.
Jodis of Charn, you know, the White Witch.
God bless you.
Yes, yes. And at the end of the day, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is a gospel movie. It is, you know, C.S. Lewis basically said, if we didn't know that the lion was Jesus, you know, he was going to set himself on fire.
Man, we've already got the preacher's wife on here. Keep going.
He was going to set himself on fire. And for pity's sake, Father Christmas, Santa Claus himself shows up and gives the children weapons. That's not just Christmas. That is an Appalachian Christmas right there.
Yeah, but Harry finds a rock in his pocket and sets a man's face on fire. You're gonna, what do you want to do? Oh, you here, child, have a sword and a magic vial. No, this guy got a rock in his pocket and melts somebody's face off. Harry Potter wins.
I've
sorry,
got plenty on. Of weapons at Christmas. I could relate to this. Like,
I was there for him.
And that's why the Nazis are bad. They won't dare. They won't dare. I got tons of weapons every Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, so Cody, you're voting Chronicles of Narnia?
I got to vote Chronicles of Narnia for
get
just the
here.
Weird, off-putting performance, but yet brilliant, of Tilda Swinton as the White Queen.
My name is Liam Neeson. I play a lion. I don't know who you are, but I will find you, and I will make you enjoy Christmas.
If he would have said, Dallas? You'll shoot your eye out, kid, whenever
thus
they showed up with the weapon,
Lord.
It would have been better. That's a different Christmas. These are both movies that I have no nostalgic ties to whatsoever. So for me, as Christmas movies, I have no love lost for either one of them for Christmas movies, but as movies, and I'll do this with my hands because it makes for great podcasting.
Ooh, he brought out the Italian band. Oh, yeah, bibbidi bobbidi. It's a Christmas movie.
I think Chronicles of Narnia is a great book, but I don't think it is my favorite of the two because it is just the one. It is a great the one, but I and it and you're like, oh, I can't wait for more of this. Christmas never came after that one. We got one Christmas, no more, and that makes me sad. So I think I'm gonna go with the Sorcerer's Stone.
We even need to ask William his vote?
Well, I was on the fence. No, I wasn't on the fence. Listen.
The Sorcerer's Stone is moving on.
The feeling I get reading Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, watching that movie, when Harry has been getting things like toothpicks and coat hangers from the Dursleys, and he wakes up and he's shocked that he has presents. His best friend in the entire world, who has this large family that he aches for. He aches for parents that love him, for like siblings that he can get in fights with and be around. He gets a sweater. He gets adopted into a found family at Christmas. Like Molly Weasley, like branded him as his. Listen, I have come up with my criteria for what makes a good Christmas movie a Christmas movie. This checks all the boxes. I'm going to bring the criteria out a little bit later whenever we're kind of fighting between the two.
Nice.
Obviously, it's a Sorcerer's Stone. Hands down.
Beautiful. Our first entry into the Sweet 16.
Harry Potter and
the Sorcerer's Stone.
This is an Appalachian Christmas. I thought that would win over Dallas, but
I always feel like he was more of a Russian arms dealer than like a redneck papaw. Like he was like, here is AK-47.
No, you get that in Violent Night.
Go get the White Witch and like.
Don't worry, that's Violent Night. It's coming up in the rated R bracket.
Okay.
I was just waiting for Cody to actually like start out of the gate strong and be like, I'm throwing my Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, yeah. The Rotten Tomatoes are making a comeback this
yes.
year, too.
So we should probably kind of clarify the rules around that going forward. If you are pulling for a movie and the rest of them are not in agreement, then you have the ability to throw your Rotten Tomato. Now, the reason why it could be a Rotten Tomato is when you throw it, the game pauses. One person looks up the Rotten Tomato score of one movie, one person looks it up of the other, and the average of the audience score and the tomato score together, if your movie, when you throw the tomato, if your movie averages higher than the other one, it wins automatically. But that's your only tomato. It could be rotten, because if you throw it and your average is lower, then the movie you were fighting against advances and your tomato is gone. So
it's basically America's Got Talent, Golden Buzzer. But if everybody else hates your contestant, then your Golden Buzzer is
it's a landmine. Who knows? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So at any point, everyone has a single Rotten Tomato that they can throw if a movie that they are pulling for is being voted against. But it may
unfairly lambasted.
If it's getting unfairly lambasted, not that that ever happens here.
James and the Giant Peach suck.
That was objectively the best movie of all time.
Oh,
we already decided.
That's crazy. I think I need some water already. We haven't even been recording that.
In my head, after that episode, Gus gained a new friend named Big Jimmy. And he's just a peach that kind of stands behind him. And he's a real big softy at heart and kind of
The peach isn't named James.
Gus is fruit friend who is a peach. He's just big pitted, okay? And his name's Big Jimmy, and he's sensitive about it, okay? All right, guys, we got to move on. Okay. And the next round in the Nazis are bad bracket, Rogue One versus The Sound of Music.
Cody, you have to lead us out because I have to understand why Rogue One, yes, probably the second best Star Wars movie of all time, right behind The Last Jedi. Yes, I get it. It's a great movie. however, how is this a Christmas movie at all? Tell us, Cody, please.
So, ultimately.
I loved the reaction that got, by the way.
I realized after watching that movie several times, I decided to make the joke that, you know, these Star Wars movies are now Christmas movies because they all came out in December. And then I started watching Rogue One. And I think Lucasfilm accidentally made the greatest, not Christmas movie, Advent movie of all time. Like, they made the greatest Advent movie of all time. And I'm not alone in this. This is a portion of an article from a website called ChristandPopCulture.com called Rogue One, an Advent Story. So I'm going to read a bit from this. But Advent is a season of hope. Hope means fighting discouragement and despair. It's a season to pause and remember what has come before, that our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. If we are living in hope, we can't allow discouragement to reign in our lives. This is illustrated in Rogue One. Jen is only able to begin hoping once her memory is stirred. Galen Erso sent a message to Saul in hopes that it would reach Jen. Jen's memories are stirred and realigned by these assurances that the father she knew and loved from her youth never stopped loving her and did not go on to serve the Empire, but remained a good man. Her hope is ignited with the knowledge and purpose that he has faith in her. Rebellions are built on hope. Christmas is built on hope. If we want the true meaning of Christmas, our choices on this bracket are The Nativity, Charlie Brown, and Rogue One.
All right, time out. That did not answer. All right, hold on.
It did, but it didn't.
Dude, what?
I mean,
Cody.
Yeah, there's also a star.
Go back to your...
There's also a star. Very prominently featured. Red and green are very prominently featured in this story.
Gosh. What is the green the laser beam from the Death Star?
Exactly.
Oh gosh.
From the space Nazi.
But I do think that there is something to be said that when preparing for the season of Christmas and preparing for a time of hope, which is what Advent is all about, I think Rogue One hits the nail on the head.
Well, until they all die at the
end. But a new hope is formed in the next movie.
That beat of silence. After that was
So a new hope is a Christmas movie. A new hope is the Christmas. Oh, okay. I see. Got it.
There's a Lego Star Wars Christmas special. And then there's an old Christmas special. And neither one of those got on the list. This one did.
The Star Wars Christmas special did not get on
because
the record.
Red and green are featured, guys. Red and green are featured.
Listen, okay, who put Sound of Music on here?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
How is Sound of Music reasoning? A Christmas movie?
I have no earthly idea, but the Sound of Music, hold on. I don't know why, but the Sound of Music came on like every single Christmas on like ABC Family.
Okay. For some
and
reason.
I think it's because of the singular line in My Favorite Things where Maria goes, brown paper packages tied up in string. I think that is literally the only reason it is actually considered a Christmas movie. But if you want to talk about hope, you know, oppressive, a government so bad that we could actually call them Nazis.
Nazis are bad. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And then the joy and hope of love and music and, you know, that it's just
I would like to
movie.
Put another movie on here. Saving Private Ryan. Can we put that on here? There's Nazis and hope. People die. Apparently, that's a requirement now for a Christmas movie.
Listen. I had to look it up, though. I had to look it up. Apparently, it has only been a holiday movie since, 2002. Because ABC would air it every year after
they just needed
It's a Wonderful Life.
They just needed programming to fill, you know, because all of their shows were on hiatus at the time, and probably The Sound of Music was the cheapest thing they could afford. So
it's,
you know,
basically since the early aughts, the idea of love and family and music and joy and mirth, it was just a great. It filled the spot in between.
I mean,
it's a
this
Wonderful
is a story
Life and a Christmas story.
Come on, Rogue One is basically the Nativity in space. It's basically
really. Can I get struck by lightning for heretical reasons by proxy via the internet? Because I feel like Cody's about to get struck by lightning. Like, smite him, almighty smiter. Not me. He said it.
Alex, I'll give you this one for the Sound of Music being
either of these is about to lose to the Sorcerer's Stone.
Vibe.
I'm fully aware.
If this was on, if it was a song and it was on a playlist with other Christmas movies, I wouldn't feel sucked out of the moment. If there was a movie marathon around Christmas time and this one came on, it wouldn't be ew, why is this on?
Set in the Alps, you know, it makes sense. I don't know why.
Snow in the background.
Yeah. I didn't say it was a Jesus Christmas movie a snowy Midwest Christmas movie. Those are on here. I don't know. Why is the Sorcerer's Stone on here? Because ABC Family put it on and it became a classic.
They also have Christmas in the movie.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Christmas
I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and defend it. I think it's...
Just for flavor's sake, I'm going to give it to Rogue One.
What? You just said you were going to give it to me.
No, give it to you that it is a Christmas movie.
And then he's going to take it away from you and vote for Rogue One.
Yank.
Wow. Okay, we're going to be calling Omar early, it sounds like.
Okay, so I know Cody's Rogue One. Dallas, what about you?
I picked Sound of Music for this. In my brain, I thought there was more Christmas to it. Watched it and then watched it, I was like, huh, is there a deleted scene that I'm misremembering? Because I was feeling it, but it's just not there. Rogue One, I watched it and I was like, I still don't understand
Neither do I.
Where this one's coming from.
I don't.
It's a great movie.
I don't get it.
I'll link the article. Like, I'll link the article.
Send it to me. I'll put it. I'll put it in the show notes. But, we don't need. Sorry, Cody. I'm gonna flip. I'm gonna say Sound of Music.
I don't know how I managed that one. I already know it's losing to the Sorcerer's Stone going forward, but you know, whatever.
I was going to throw my tomato on Rogue One versus Sorcerer's Stone, on that one, but I'm too scared to go after Sound of Music. I feel like that one's
really?
Too much of a classic.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, that one was too much of a classic. So I was too scared to go after Sound of Music.
Oh, and that would be real early.
You know what? Let's do a what if moment.
Welcome to What If. I am the Watcher, not actually Jeffrey Wright's voice right now. But let's see what would have happened.
Let's just look at Rogue One.
Yeah.
Look at Rogue One.
Because
yeah, I want to know. Sound of Music, Rotten Tomatoes. Let's find out.
No, don't look at Sound
no,
of Music.
No, no, no. Don't look at Sound of Music. It's still in there.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yep. I'm sorry. I didn't actually look at it.
Okay, I've got...
I'm not going to throw
sound
it.
Sound of Music...
I'm not going to throw it.
Sound of Music moves on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But just look at Rogue One to see what the numbers
Rogue
were.
Rogue One had a fresh score of 84% and an audience score of 87%.
I'm going to be fully transparent now, laying my cards on the table. I'm not going to be throwing a Rotten Tomato for Sound of Music over the Sorcerer's Stone. Going to be fully transparent. Here we go. Rotten Tomatoes for The Sound of Music. Pulling it up. Sound of Music has an 83% critics, 91%.
Oh, that would have been
91% audience. So what's that? What's the difference there?
Sound of Music would have won.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was too scared.
Because it's 85.5 average.
87.
87 average for the other.
I was too scared to go after a classic like The Sound of Music.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think that Rogue One would have been that close to The Sound of Music, of all things. Trust me. I already said Rogue One, second best movie of all time behind The Last Jedi. But, you know,
as a Christmas movie. Okay.
See,
guys,
I don't have a champion in my personal bracket because if my final four, one of my final four makes it, I just win.
there's too many good ones on here for it to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll finish the Nazis are bad bracket. We're going to cut to a break and we come back. We will have the Clay Best Friends bracket. We'll see you guys in a second. Okay, we're back. This is the Clay Best Friends bracket, consisting of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, A Year Without Santa Claus, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and Elf, starring Will Ferrell, directed by Jon Favreau.
Whoop, whoop.
Okay, right off the top, Rudolph versus A Year Without Santa Claus.
All right, who had seen A Year Without a Santa Claus before this bracket?
I did. Oh, everybody.
Okay, all of us had seen
yes.
it. All right, cool. Nice. Okay, for some reason I thought that and Santa Claus is Coming to Town were both.
I was mistaking A Year Without Santa Claus for a different movie.
Okay, yeah. I was going to make sure if one of you all had a first time viewing.
It's been years since I've seen A Year Without a Santa Claus, but I have seen
it. So is this one of those like, why don't we all just say it at the same time moments?
I mean,
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Rudolph actually. Is the win. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's Rudolph.
I think it's Rudolph.
It's not that A Year Without a Santa Claus is bad. No. It's just that Rudolph is like, it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's top Christmas for me. Like,
yeah. Rudolph is the Captain.
Dawn of Time. That's always been there.
Rudolph is the Captain America Winter Soldier to Year Without a Santa Claus is Ant-Man. Like, they're two different.
That is the strangest analogy you could have made. That's like trying to say Rogue One is a Christmas movie, but somehow I respect it. I still respect it.
Like, Rudolph is the 900-pound claymation gorilla in the room. Like, it's...
Oh, gained an extra 100 pounds. Good for him.
All right.
Most people
Rudolph
only go 800.
Advances. Now.
Rudolph's 900.
This one was a bit of a stretch putting it in the bracket, but Elf does have some Clay Best Friends. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and Elf...
This one's not a fair fight, guys.
Yeah, I would have had a
we already know the winner
slimmer pickings here. If you put year without a Santa Claus and Santa Claus is coming to town. I would have duked it out on those two.
I'm giving it to Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh
hush. What?
I am.
Okay.
I am. I think it holds up better. The music is great. It has a more timeless quality, whereas
other than Santa Claus is coming to town.
We're not talking about the Michael Jackson Jackson 5 Santa Claus is coming to town.
Other than Santa Claus
we're
is
talking
coming
about
to
the
town.
Movie.
What is another song in that movie?
It's one foot in front of the other.
Touche.
He's got
and
you there.
You are walking out the door.
So do I.
Now,
listen,
but
Elf is the one movie that has broken my father into liking Will Ferrell. Hates every other Will Ferrell movie, and he loves Elf. Elf is just incredible. And we would not have the Marvel Cinematic Universe without Elf.
This would put John
You're
Favreau
welcome.
On the map.
John Favreau creates Elf.
I'm sorry,
and
Cody.
Then
I've got to
Kevin Feige goes, need a director who can do something good with this Iron Man guy that's unheard of. And he taps on the shoulder of a little Mr. John Favreau. We wouldn't have The Mandalorian without Elf. How does that make you feel, Cody?
I mean, look, I'm not mad about it, but I knew it'd be a long shot.
Oh, no.
Santa Claus coming to town has great music, but also, I don't know what they were taking, but in the middle of that movie, it kicked in, and there's a 70s scene in there where it's like weird floaty colors, and it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie, and then back to Santa Claus coming to town.
Look, if Rudolph is the 900-pound gorilla, Elf is the 1,200-pound gorilla. You know, like, it's just
pure,
like...
Pure claymation won over me to half claymation. Like, on that basis alone, I gave it to Santa Claus is coming to town. Like, if this was the
in the bracket that it's in, yes, but I've got to... So, Elf advances.
Well, I'm not mad about it. Someone had to be
Rudolph
the,
and Elf.
Someone
Elf's
had to be the curmudgeon in the corner on this one.
Don't worry. I get to be the curmudgeon very soon.
Well,
very soon.
That is it for Clay Best Friends bracket. We're going to cut to a break. When we come back, the Christmas Hope bracket. We'll see you guys in a second. Okay, we're back. Leading up to...
I love that we were able to... We spent 15 minutes on Nazis are bad, and then Clay Best Friend's 3 seconds? 30 seconds? Okay, deal, done. Moving on. Elf and Rudolph. All right, moving
this
on.
This would be like if we had AI generate a summary, it would be like, the cast waxes philosophical for about 15 minutes as to whether or not they think Nazis are...
Rudolph's great.
Nazis are bad.
Elf is great.
It'd be like, no, you missed the point here. We agree.
It did that at one point. It did that at one point, and I left it in as the description, and you were like, no, we can't.
It was during the table
is
topic
murder good?
About crime.
Is
like,
murder
the
good?
The cast waxes philosophically about whether or not murder is bad. Lots of laughter to be had. We're like, no, we all agree. Murder. Anyway, okay.
I said leave it in, but no.
Christmas Hope bracket. Right out of the gate, we have the BBC Nativity versus The Preacher's Wife with Denzel Washington, Courtney B. Vance, and Whitney Houston.
So
I'm going to, I get to actually, so I've championed William and I'm going to champion Cody now. Cody has been talking for so long about how there aren't a lot of good Nativity movies. And he had us watch, and I'm like, am I about to watch a four-part miniseries from the BBC?
To be fair, on Hoopla, it was stitched together like a movie, so I thought it was a movie.
Oh.
Well, Amazon Prime said otherwise. And considering Amazon Prime is about to be our sponsor for the Big Red Button, we have to go to them.
Yeah.
Anyways, I obviously kind of went in with some... fear and trepidation of what a BBC production could be, and it was actually very well done, very well acted. I'm not probably gonna go back and rewatch it anytime soon, But I can tell you, I'm not going to rewatch The Preacher's Wife, because the idea that an angel tries to have an affair with the preacher's wife and somehow that solves all the problems at this church lost me. Love Denzel. Whitney Houston is great. Love Courtney B. Vance. Made no sense. I'm going with the BBC Nativity. You're welcome, Cody.
Going with the BBC Nativity.
Really? I thought this was your pick. Yes. Was the preacher's wife?
No, it was a pick to put it onto the bracket.
Oh,
because
all right, well,
it's
cool.
A universally loved. Well, not universally.
Wow, I thought I was coming out here actually championing Cody.
I thought I was
going to be like, I'm going to speak up for the little man. And then it was like, no, we all agree with him.
So the BBC Nativity. This was a first time watch for me this year. This past year. Because I try to find a nativity story to watch, you know, real meaning of Christmas, that sort of thing. And the nativity story, you can tell it was directed by the person who directed the first Twilight movie. And
yeah,
I saw this one and there's definitely some BBC budgets on it, but it also has Peter Capaldi in it. Yeah. Peter Capaldi and She-Hulk. And it was remarkably well acted.
Tatiana Maslany as Mary, she was incredibly, charming.
Did you know she's Canadian, by the way? Couldn't tell. I was like, oh my goodness, she's been faking her American accent so well. Because she's doing a British accent in this. Melts into the role. She's Canadian.
Yeah, she was good.
Perfect.
There were several poorly executed, day for night shots. There was some extended set. You could tell it was BBC, but the act, if you can get over the fact that in that time, whitewashing a cast wasn't as apropos as it is today, it was very well acted. It had some really tender moments. I loved it.
Yeah, this one's probably going to be my go-to nativity, when I want to engage with nativity.
I thought you said Rogue One was your go-to nativity. I was fairly certain I heard that earlier.
Rogue One.
He'll say anything. He'll say anything to get a win.
Rogue One is part of my Christmas rotation from now on, because I fully buy the Kool-Aid I'm drinking. But
well, I know it's already got three votes, but Dallas, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm going BBC Nativity as well.
Okay.
I think the Preacher's Wife was
done. So we
done...
don't want to watch Denzel have an affair with Whitney Houston?
What happened during that time? There was the movie Michael, which was also about an angel that wanted to come to Earth and, hang out and, have relations with people and just chill.
You know.
So I don't know if there was, a weird time where people were like, what if angels were attractive and wanted to marry us? And they're like, oh, this is going to be movie gold. Let's make a lot of these.
Then there was, what was it? Seventh Heaven, Touched by an Angel. What was going on?
We were super into, oh my goodness.
Touched by an Angel takes on a whole new meaning now.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Next up is the Christmas Hope bracket. White Christmas.
The hope, and it all drained out the bottom.
As does worse. To the UFC spinoff of Touched by an Angel, Beaten by a Deacon.
Oh, UFC. Okay, gotcha.
IFC, Lord.
Anyways, White Christmas versus It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, so I'm gonna let William. William, you start this one because I know White Christmas is one of your favorites.
Yeah, it's White Christmas for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Same.
It is. It's
really
if. Christmas movies are kind of in, I approach them based off of what you want to feel when you're watching it. And White Christmas is a comfort movie and It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, it's in the Christmas Hope movie, but it's the, I need to be kind of reflective on my life and evaluate the trajectory that it's on and make better choices and realize that what I have around me is actually really good. And I just, White Christmas is the, you can have it on in the background and it sets a tone for your day, or you can sit down and watch it and it's an enjoyable movie as well.
You are operating under the presumption that I like musicals. And if it's a musical versus a non-musical, 9.9 times out of 10, the non-musical is going to win. And
oh,
for that
really?
Reason, Sharks, I'm out. I'm going with It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, that's a vote for It's a Wonderful Life.
I know it is Kristen's favorite Christmas movie. It is one of your favorite Christmas movies. It is Michelle's favorite Christmas movie. But I knew I'd be outvoted if our wives were our co-hosts here. But when I watched It's a Wonderful Life for the first time, and I watched it late, like 3 years ago for the first time, like 3 years ago.
It was part of the 73 that we made you watch for March Movie Madness.
No, I watched bracket. I watched it before the bracket, but in this, it's fair to say, without going into too much details, that my 20s had a lot of ups and downs. It had a lot of ups and downs, had a lot of just kind of stressful moments, a lot of moments where I was rethinking my life and feeling frustrated and all of that stuff. So I felt for Jimmy Stewart on a sure. lot of levels in that story. And if
just the very opening of the mm-hmm. two angels talking, and they're mm-hmm. like, we got to go help him. And the other angel says, well, is he sick? No, he's sad or he's down in the dumps or something. And it's amazing that just sadness is one of the worst things that we can face in life. And we need a way to reflect. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful life. It literally is a wonderful
and
life.
One of my favorite things to see is extraordinary acts of love. Extraordinary acts of love and kindness. And when the town rallied together and helped him get his money back, I was sobbing in that Aww. Part. I was sobbing in that part. And that movie just like
spoiler, that's what should have happened in Christmas Vacation. Just saying.
I was sobbing in that part, and it just like the Santa stories as someone without children don't really appeal to me that much as an adult. So it's a Wonderful Life is one of the Christmas movies for me as an adult.
Oh, sure.
And so nice. My vote goes, It's a Wonderful Life.
One of my criteria for a Christmas movie is there has to be, and you can interpret this as you will, some form of Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
In a Christmas movie. And I think both of these fit the bill where Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, their characters like
Rogue One. They get the
exactly. The, yeah, that's why
plans
I was like,
for the Death Star.
Faith.
It's a miracle.
Faith in
yeah.
the Force. Faith.
You know
faith
what? I rescind
it.
My vote. I'm gonna. No, I'm just kidding. Some music still goes on. I don't know what you're.
The
no miracle there.
Getting the army division there to the resort for the general mm-hmm. on Christmas Eve. It's
wow.
It was like 68 degrees, and then it snowed on Christmas. Like, that it had that fit the bill for me, and you know, the rallying
and
at
every
the end.
Time a bell. Oh, wait, no, that's the other
oh,
movie.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love that moment in White Christmas. It just,
yes,
the ending of
Christmas. I gave you my,
oh, don't,
my troops
don't you, don't,
and
don't.
The berry.
You don't bring
day.
Mariah Carey into this. Oh, no, sorry,
they were shipped out away. So, wham,
but Alex,
you mean
on,
wham?
On your end. You,
I was
if
just
it's a
feeling
musical,
rage.
That will push you in the other direction.
Yeah.
We are
pretty much
we're a very
yeah.
musical household,
and that's okay. No, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, I get it. So, I get why it's a classic, yeah. and it's very much.
I vote
White
Christmas.
Christmas,
and when there's two for a Wonderful Life, Dallas.
Oh boy,
Kayla, listen to this. I will let Kayla listen to this. When we're done.
So you guys have very locked down criteria, and I am very fast and loose with like what am I vibing right now with this one?
I'm not locked down. I picked Rogue One.
That's
what I love
a,
about
you.
You
had a very like methodical way of getting to that. I'm vibing with White Christmas on this one. Because
really?
We watch this one. Like, this is a you can decorate your Christmas tree while this is on or do other festive activities. Whereas It's a Wonderful Life, you have to sit down and contemplate that movie. It's a great movie, but it is not how I want to do Christmas for the majority of the Christmas season. Whereas White Christmas is a fun, good time, and is also doing Christmas.
All right, who's going to break the tie?
It's the Christmas cookie. Whereas It's a Wonderful Life is Christmas.
I texted
borscht.
Omar. I texted Omar. You up? So we'll see. If he gets back to me in the next minute, I'll. Oh, he said I can text but not talk.
Okay.
Which Christmas movie is better in your opinion? White Christmas or It's a Wonderful Life. No leading the witness there, okay? That way everyone is aware of what I'm sending.
We're gonna hire someone respectable to read his response back.
Morgan Freeman is now reading the text messages of Omar Fallon and Alex Christian. First, Alex sends a dubious message that says, "You up, LOL." It almost sounds like Alex is asking for a booty call. Then he follows up with, "Need a tiebreaker to make sure that Omar doesn't get the wrong idea." Omar is a little dejected and a little sad that it's not actually a booty call. So instead he replies, "Yes, I can text, but not talk." Alex then says, "Which Christmas movie is better, in your opinion? White Christmas or It's a Wonderful Life?" Omar has replied, "First of all, the greatest Christmas movie of all time is Jingle All the Way."
Yes! Yes!
He hasn't seen the rest of the bracket, so he's unaware that that's actually coming up. Good for him.
Secondly, It's a Wonderful Life is Omar's vote.
All right.
Thank you, Omar. This is not actually Morgan Freeman. It's Alex doing a really shitty impression of Morgan Freeman.
Like, I'm not fine mad. With that. Like, this wasn't, if he had voted White Christmas, I wouldn't be mad.
I wasn't mad these until are two he said great Jingle movies. All the Way is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
You know, I'm a little concerned by that. Yeah, I'm a little concerned by that, honestly. But hey, like, you know what, Omar, when you hear this, thanks.
I respect his taste. I do.
I do too.
Respect his
I do too. I do too. Whew. Okay. Well, that has rounded out the Christmas Hope bracket. We are going to cut to a break again. And whenever we come back, we have zany comedies. And
I'm Morgan Freeman, and I would really like to be let out of this cage now.
We'll be back in just a second.
Morgan Freeman's in a cage, but is still very chill. Like, he's not upset about it, really.
That would be the only way, Morgan. No, not at all. All right, well, we're back with the zany comedy Christmas movies. And our first contenders are Home Alone, which is, in a lot of ways, the proto The Sorcerer's Stone.
And Die Hard
and
for Children.
It's going up against. Yeah. Yeah. And it's going up against Christmas Vacation, the wonderful life of the 80s, basically.
Mm-hmm.
This bracket is like my childhood relationship with William. Pure and utter apathy.
What?
Oh. Whoa. I think that makes it worse, actually, somehow. I don't know.
Like, when
I
William,
was apathetic to my brother. He sucks.
When William would do crazy, talented things, the way I would take the wind out of his sails as the snot-nosed little brother is just to be thoroughly apathetic about it. It was a defense mechanism.
And it worked.
I think I'm 25 years too late to Home Alone. This was a first-time watch for me, or at least a first-time watch for me in the 2000s. Like, the last time I saw it was, like, 1998.
You realize the 2000s were 20 years ago, right? So,
yes.
Wow. Oh, he's nodding. He's nodding
I'm aware.
Silent nod.
And I think I understand why it's nostalgia bait for everyone, but it's not there for me.
Okay.
And I know why people have nostalgia for Christmas Vacation. Mm. I really, outside of a couple of endearing moments, didn't care about that movie.
Yeah.
And so my vote is going to Home Alone just because I have to pick one.
Wow.
Like, I have to.
Rewatching Home Alone made me hate the McAllisters. I used to love Home Alone, but now watching it for the first time as an adult, really actually watching it as an adult, not just on in the background, I hate Kevin's family with a passion. they are Schitt's Creek on steroids, and that's a reference to the fact that it's the same mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. They suck. They are horrible people. Yes, the rest of the family, the extended family in Christmas Vacation, they are terrible too. That's the point. They're in contrast to a very nice family. I never liked Christmas Vacation until this Christmas. I watched it and I was like, oh, I get Clark. He is a hopeless optimist trying his darndest, and no matter what, things go wrong. Oh. I feel for him. I feel bad for him. But I'm with Cody. I don't have nostalgia really for either of these. I'm actually going Christmas Vacation on this one, just because I feel so passionately that Clark was wronged in every way, shape, and form. Kevin's a little snot-nosed brat, and his family sucks.
These are both first-time watches for me.
At least it elicited a strong response.
It did.
Yeah.
But so did Christmas Vacation. But the strong response is very mellow comparatively to other movies in this bracket, which we will get there. We will get there.
So,
Dallas?
I feel the same way about Home Alone. Is like watching it as a child, you're just like, this is dope. I would love to be left alone in my house and people try to rob it. And you're rooting for him because of the bad guys. But as an adult, you're rooting for him because of his parents and the bad guys at the same time.
Yes. So,
yeah, I watched it and I was like, man, it was a little bit more of a struggle to watch it now.
Absolutely.
But I also felt the same way about Christmas Vacation in that, like, it is, there was a long time in the 80s where it was like SNL skits turned into movies. And those don't always vibe with me now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just like they wore out their welcome in my brain, but it has some cool quips and funny things. I get where you're coming from, that he is mistreated, but Home Alone still has a better place in my heart. I just root for different people. like you should shoot Marv, but also maybe your dad with that BB gun, because he also kind of sucks. So
everyone sucks. I wish that the plane had crashed.
And I want to know their job.
And that Kevin was sent to like a foster care home.
Send him to
where
the
he
Weasleys.
Learned some manners and respect.
Because he's clearly magical with some of those traps.
No. He needs rules and punishment. He is a terrible little snot.
And that's why the Weasleys would be good for them. Good for him.
Okay, so we got two for Home Alone, one for Christmas Vacation. Yeah, it's Home Alone.
Oh.
It is absolutely the proto, like it is the first attempt at, like, this is where the whimsy of the first two Harry Potter movies comes from. I mean, we've even got John Williams for a score.
Mm-hmm. And so,
I hate Kevin's family so much. I hate them so much.
At the risk of sounding prudish, because I did put Violent Night in a later bracket. These movies, you have to accept them for what they are. Alex, in knowing you for a while, it feels like if you were going to make, bear with me, if you were going to make some form of cheese dip for a party, like you would be the one who would, you know, you would render some butter down with some flour to make a roux. You would add the milk to it to thicken it up. You would melt various arrays of cheddar into it, add peppers. There you go. There's your cheese dip. And you would eat that and you'd be like, oh, there's complexity of flavor here. This is rich. It's warming. It's filling.
You want the nacho cheese dip from the Regal Cinemas.
Thursday, I went to a basketball game and I got chips. Yes. I got nachos and cheese. And I could taste kind of the plastic taste in the cheese, but I wasn't expecting anything different. Sometimes it's on my list of things that I eat and I have no regrets. And you accept it for what it is. It's yellow dyed melted plastic. Tasty, tasty melted plastic. So
my sister-in-law would be ashamed of you. Dyes like and plastic containers. How dare
listen,
you?
Listen, so between these two movies, I am looking for the nostalgic
bring back days of yore. I want to feel good. I want to chuckle. I want to laugh. Between these two movies, Christmas Vacation feels like a movie that, oh, you watched it as a kid because it was airing on television. Yay. You watch it as an adult and you're like, I don't remember that. It felt like there was a
cable
version.
Cut it out.
There was a version for adults and there was a virgin or version for television.
A virgin for adults. And
for
well,
and Home Alone, I feel like that movie is the same every time. It appeals to a bit more of a broader audience. So between these two, that was my deciding criteria. So I went with Home
John
Alone.
Williams did
my
the
personal
score.
New headcanon. Yeah. My new personal headcanon is that Home Alone exists in the same universe as The Bear, which anyone who has watched both of these franchises will know that it's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's a Christmas episode of The Bear that if you don't have anxiety, you do now. Like, you're like, I think I need to like be medicated after watching this. That's how I felt watching Home Alone.
Fair. Okay,
but hey, there are Jingle Bells and John Williams, so you know it's all good.
There you go.
It's all good. And Joe Pesci,
William.
Cool.
I feel the same way with mac and cheese. I can have mac and cheese, trashy or classy, in every variant in between.
But when like, you're going I into it, you the... know, you accept it for what it is.
Yes.
This is either the easy mac or this is a casserole that's been labored over for 2 hours. So that will probably come up a little bit later. But Home Alone takes this one. Now we move on to Jingle All the Way and A Christmas Story.
I'm Morgan Freeman here to give Omar Fallon's vote. Omar says that Jingle All the Way is the superior film of all Christmas movies. Once again, this has been Morgan Freeman.
I honestly don't.
Wow, that Morgan Freeman guy, he's pretty eloquent.
I honestly don't know on this one.
Oh, I've got a clear pick.
What?
Really? All right, Dallas, let's hear it. What's your clear pick?
If the clear pick is the same, then we can move on, but...
I doubt it's probably going to be the same.
I don't know. I don't think it's a clear pick.
Jingle All the Way, I watched like one time as a child, and then I just remember that Conan O'Brien did Jingle All the Way riffs for like 3 years after that. And it was an okay movie, but I've watched A Christmas Story every single year since the first conscious memory of watching TV that I probably shouldn't be watching as a child up until now. And that one holds way more weight in my mind than
that's fair.
Than
you mean
to
tell me the fact that Anakin friggin' Skywalker is in the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't get your vote?
Look, I'm going to give Jake Lloyd all the love. That kid has had a hard life since The Phantom Menace and deserves nothing but the utmost respect. But it's A Christmas Story. Come on.
Agreed.
Okay, that's fine.
Agreed.
That's fine.
I got a Red Ryder BB gun. I've got it sitting in this closet right behind me right now, still.
Now,
challenged
it's
there,
a Christmas Story.
In my head, there's a string of profanities hovering over Lake Michigan when you challenged
that's
it.
That's fair. That is completely and totally fair. And to be honest, I had not watched the movie for years, Jingle All the Way, until we did the bracket and I wanted to revisit it. And I don't, maybe it's because A Christmas Story definitely has that, put it on the background. Because everyone has it memorized. You don't really have to sit around and watch it. But, okay, I'm not upset.
It's still in its original box. It's a Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock and everything. And I even almost shot my eye out while shooting tin cans on a yoga mat. And it hit the yoga mat and it came back and hit me right in the cheek. And my mom still doesn't know about that. And she will now. It's A Christmas Story.
I'm just saying, revisiting Jingle on the Way just gave me pause. It's a Christmas Story is a very quotable movie. There's a lot of nostalgia attached to it. I had kind of got burnout on it for a while.
That's fair.
I probably haven't watched it in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
It just gave me pause. I'm not going to argue it. I'm not going to throw a tomato. Obviously, Christmas Story wins.
I will say
I'm Morgan Freeman, here to express Omar Fallon's great disappointment. He hates all of you immensely.
I gave it
consideration.
Omar doesn't want to hear it.
I will say this.
I'm Morgan Freeman. Omar doesn't want to hear it. I'm Morgan Freeman.
I will say, if it was Jingle All the Way versus Home Alone or Jingle All the Way versus Christmas Vacation, Jingle All the Way would have won on that.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
No, if it was Jingle All the Way versus Home Alone, Jingle All the Way would have won. But actually, anything would have beat Home Alone for me in this bracket. So.
All right. Well, Christmas Story has moved on. That completes the zany comedy bracket. And we are halfway through the Conference of 32.
Oh, we're halfway there.
Oh, just out of curiosity, I did. I did look up the Rotten Tomato score for Jingle All the Way, and its average is 30.5%.
Thank you, Conan O'Brien. Thank you.
Wow, that's a massive disappointment.
All right, we're gonna take that.
It's not a tumor.
Oh my!
That's the other one. That's Kindergarten Cop. Also, a terrible movie.
All right, Christmas Story advances, and guys, I assumed that we would be able to get through the entire Conference of 32 tonight, but I think we're going to have to split it up and do the second half of the initial part of this in the next episode. So we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our table topic
for a week.
Yeah. So when we come back, we'll do our table topic for this week, and then we will finish out the bracket, at least this first initial round of the bracket, in our next episode. And I may have structured it so that the drama would happen in the latter half. So anyways, we're going to cut to a break, and when we come back, we'll have a listener submit a table topic, and then we'll head out of here. We'll be right back.
My original defense of Rogue One was like 75 pages. So, you know, we condensed it.
We can edit. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay, hang on. I need to pull up.
But the Morgan Freeman bits have to stay for Omar Fallon's sake. They're very funny. And if you pitch correct them down by about 2 or 3 cents, it would probably be close.
We're going to round out tonight with a table topic, and then we'll head out of here. This one actually comes from a listener and good friend of the show, Josiah Kronz. He asks, What is the best gizmo that has made your life better in the last year? I love tech talk. Yes. Best gizmo. You could probably interpret that as traditional tech, gadget, appliance.
Well, not all at once.
I'll lead out because I know Alex has strong feelings about how this is just an appliance we already have repackaged as another one. But we got a really large air fryer, and I couldn't.
Is just a convection oven. You know that.
Yes, it is. And you have mentioned this before, but I've cooked a lot more at home as a result. I don't know why this is reprogrammed in my brain that this is somehow different than the other one, than the other oven that's already in our house. But
hey, you know what? I love it. If it gets people cooking and exploring tastes, and by all means, go for it. Just the marketing geniuses who call it an air fryer. First of all, I hate your guts. Second of all,
I hate your guts. That
I love you
so
all. That's amazing.
Rich.
That's amazing. That's incredible. Good job.
Cody, you looked like you got up and went and actually got the gadget that has made your life
If it's
better.
A transformer.
Yay.
We'll talk through it. It's an audio medium.
It's my brother got me for Christmas. It's a paper shoot camera.
Paper shoot. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Paper shoot camera, which is sort of like it's a point and shoot digital camera. It's a point and shoot digital camera made out of paper. Of all things, it has a single processor board in it, and it's a digital camera that takes quality, very quality photos. And as someone who's been trying to get away from his phone in recent years, one of the hardest thing to find has been a quality camera that is also affordable, because cell phones have eviscerated that market. And, you know, this was a very, very pleasant surprise. So I'm going to say this is one thing that's...
It doesn't have a screen. You can't preview the image after the fact. It's a... You pull it up in a moment, and it gives you that same kind of analog feeling of reviewing the pictures, not obviously days later after you send them out, but you only can review them once you get them home. And I was envious of us too. And I'm glad that you've enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Dallas, what about you? Gizmo gadget
that made life more convenient, right? That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe more convenient. Like, it wasn't a world changer, but I got this niche, I guess. I got a power supply so I could put my ham radio in the house so I can just sit here while and doing other dumb things and talk. I don't have to go out to my car or only use it in my vehicle. I can use it here. So that's probably something in the last year. The only tech I can really think of that like made things super convenient. We did switch to a new map app with search and rescue that made things way easier. But that is also something that most people don't care about. So yeah, that's my thing. Alex?
I am going to just continue to dig my own grave. They thought he was a pretentious before. This just is solidifying it. We bought smart light switches for our house. And
digging any grave at all.
No. Really?
Yeah, most of my light bulbs in my house are smart.
Awesome.
So I just yell at Google to turn lights on and off or change colors.
I do the same thing. I ask the yes, please hub. I don't want to say it because she'll hear me. And I'm like, hey, set the lights to 25%. Turn off this set of lights. I can automate our front porch and our garage lights to turn on at like 6 o'clock. I mean, it's beautiful. And
no, that's kind of the dream.
I mean, it's so fun. And I can sit there and we want to start a movie. And this is where I get extra lazy. I just open up my phone and I've got a widget right here where I turn on the floor lamp next to me, but I turn off the living room lights and the dining room lights behind us. Or I can turn on our lamps This is where we're children of the internet at this point. We call the overhead lights in our bedroom the big lights because we're children. Yeah. So I'll tell the robot lady to turn off the big lights, but that leaves our lamps on so we can read in bed. I mean, that
Listen,
is the most
there is a light.
First world bougie thing that you could ask for. But it's he said gizmo that made my life better. Made my life better.
I would judge you if like you bought a house with the stuff built in, because softwaring in house, like having software locks on houses, that's where I would probably judge you for. But if you just bought them and got plugs, then yeah, go for it.
Oh, it's so nice.
There is a light in our kitchen that if I'm sitting in my usual spot on our couch, the glare is in the very, very center of the television. And it is such a first world problem, but you have to get up, walk through the door into the kitchen to the far side of the kitchen to turn that light off and go all the way back. Yeah, I know. There's no pretension here at all. Can I put an addendum at the end of mine so it's not a lame air fryer? Because
I think
got
it's great.
In the last year was my truck.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It has made my life infinitely
What is it with
better.
You Murphys doing twofers? No, you get a one-fer. It's a one-fer with these answers.
This
not
is
twofers.
This is the truck that I have
well,
wanted.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. This has been a doctor and a lawyer. Yeah, that's how this works. One
the more you complain, I see threefers coming from the horizon.
No, this is so. I was in residency, okay, and I walked out into our clinic parking lot, and this truck—not this one specifically, but this make, this model, this color, this year—was sitting in the parking lot. I have never given a rip about cars. If it gets me from point A to point B safely, I don't care what it looks like. This one stopped me in my tracks. It was a 2015 Chevy Silverado in rainforest green. I looked it up whenever I got home, and it was $64,000. I said, well,
that dream's dead. That dream that started today is dead. And I'm like, I might be able to buy this in like 7 to 8 years. Well, go figure. You fast forward 7 to 8 years, and I started looking for them, and there was like 4 available at any given point. Usually one in Florida, one on the West Coast, one in like Texas, and that was it. But then the CarMax in Lexington one day, I may have set a little like Google alert for it.
It popped up,
and we ended up getting it. And Kristen and I both right now, we did not break the bank for a vehicle, and we both have vehicles right now that we walk out into the parking lot, look at it, and we still smile a little to ourselves when we see that. And it's, I've never had that before, and it's kind of a cool feeling. And
I smile because mine actually starts.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go.
It's working.
As far as making my life easier,
a ham radio in it so I could talk to you while I'm sitting in this
chair. I know a guy.
I legitimately priced out a kit to put CarPlay in it, Apple CarPlay, because I am who I am. That's the only thing that would make it perfect. But anyway, sorry for the twofer. I know we have gone long today. So guys, I will settle up the tab as payment for my twofer and hanging out here just a little bit longer while Tom angrily scrubs that last
big glass. Red button for the dailies. They get the best movie bracket that we've had in a year, and they get a twofer from William. I mean, it's like, what more could they want? And you're picking up the tab. Couldn't be better.
Well, if you found yourself one booth down and you've made it this far, thanks for hanging out with us. If you like this show, you can find out more about it at doctorandlawyer.show. And if you want to find out more about the other shows in our network, go to thegrapefruitnetwork.com. Shows with a Z. Yes. We've got a lot of other fun stuff coming. But
I'm Morgan Freeman. They do not use a Z in any of their shows.
But guys, I think with that, I'm going to head out of here. I am William.
I'm Cody.
I'm Dallas.
And I'm the disappointment, also known as Alex.
No.
And we'll see you next time. I'm the disembodied head of Morgan Freeman.
Dead now?
You got to do that little breathy bit at the end to really sell it.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.
Are you kidding? I'm working.
All right, I'll be right there.
And grab the movie. Go, 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 go.
Come on, my love. Goodbye, my friend.
You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
One snapped in two, which was sad.